We ask you to join me in the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 4. As I've already made mention to, today is Commitment Sunday. It's that special time of year when we take a minute to look at the needs of the church and the role you play, the role you have in the context of the ministries of this church. At the end of the sermon, I'm going to give us a little time to have a season of prayer and then ask the ushers to come and pass the offering plates, and you can place your offering, or excuse me, your commitment card there. But I want to give you this time to ponder and to reflect on this total aspect of stewardship. Two weeks ago, David Brady stood here and gave you an extremely informative outline of stewardship and several passages that teach us, lead us in that way. And so I'm dovetailing, if you will, onto that to some degree. And I want to speak on the total stewardship, the total aspect of stewardship. David gave us three areas: time, talent, and our financial resources. I want to introduce you to a gentleman. Some of you may know him. When I've mentioned his name to others in passing the last 2 weeks, as I have worked on this sermon, they have said, "Who?" Which is the normal response. The gentleman's name is Tychicus. And you automatically know by his name that he's Greek. His name is Tychicus. He is a follower, a disciple, if you will, much like Timothy and Titus and some of the others that are mentioned throughout Paul's writings. And as I said, he's not too familiar to us. But he is mentioned a couple of times in Scriptures. We'll read of him here today in Colossians. And then you'll also see him mentioned at the final remarks in the book of Ephesians to the church in Ephesus. You'll see him mentioned or read him mentioned in 2 Timothy. And then you'll also read him again in Titus. But Tychicus has a very special role in Paul's ministry to the churches in Colossae. We get the book of Colossians, and Ephesus, we get the book of Ephesians. It is a story having to do with the church in Colossae that he is involved with. He is involved in the story of Philemon and Onesimus. Again, Greek gentleman. Onesimus is a slave in the household of Philemon. Philemon being his owner. But you see, Onesimus ran away. And we believe he ran away and joined the group that was following Paul and wound up in Rome. We don't have a full detail of his travels, but we sort of pick it up as Paul is writing a letter. Actually, he's writing three letters. One to go to the church in Colossae, one to go to the church in Ephesus, and one to go particularly to the gentleman Philemon, of which we have that in our Bible as the book of Philemon. It is the letter that he wrote concerning this situation between Onesimus and Philemon. As I said, Onesimus is a slave. He's run away. Philemon is upset. Of course, this is his property. This is his household belonging, and he's run away and joined the team following Paul. So Paul writes a letter. He writes a letter to Philemon. As I said, we have it as the book of Philemon. But there's one peculiar, one very wonderful aspect of this story. While away, Onesimus becomes a believer. He comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And Paul is writing the letter back to Philemon, sending the letter and Onesimus under the care of Tychicus back to resolve this situation. You see, Paul is in prison. Paul can't go himself. So he has to send someone he trusts. He also has to send someone who is capable of resolving this situation. Who is Tychicus, though? This is the gentleman we want to concentrate on. Who is this guy that Paul has this level of trust in to send him on this errand, on this act of ministry? Well, I don't think he is quite the leadership capacity of a Timothy or a Titus. He's not sent necessarily to teach the elders as Timothy and Titus were, but he was sent to resolve an issue. So he does have some caliber within this group of followers, but he's not a Timothy, a Titus level, if you really wanted to get into degrees. But I would consider him just a part of the team. He's a follower of Paul's teachings, and he's a member of the team. He's meeting with the folks there in Rome. But it is a person that Paul has had some access to, and he has invested in, and now he entrusts Tychicus with a vision. He gives Tychicus a mission. He sends him to use his talents to resolve the issue between Philemon and Onesimus. Paul is saying, in so many words, Tychicus, I am sending you with letters. It has my seal, my name on it. I'm sending you on my behalf. More than that, I'm sending you on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ to go and intervene and to resolve this particular issue that is at hand within the church body in Colossae. So Tychicus is empowered. He is given responsibility and he's given authority to conduct ministry. I see this personally as the parable of the talents that we find in Matthew 25. I find this to be the parable of the talents at work. In that parable, one was given 10, one was given 5, one was given 2. I think I got the numbers right. And then asked or encouraged to go and invest, to go and do something with this that you've been given. Well, here we see that with Tychicus. Tychicus has been given talents, if you will, authority, responsibility. He has been empowered to go and work. He has been told by his master, Paul, to go and do. And then there is going to be, I pray, some reward, some amount of offering, some amount of something back from the investment, some equity gained. This parable of the talents in Matthew 25. He's been given authority to conduct ministry. Now, do you think this is because Tychicus is someone special? That he's been shown to have particular abilities? That he's been shown to stand above or beyond some others? Well, that would be a debatable point because the scriptures don't tell us that much about Tychicus. We see that he's not quite the level of Titus and Timothy, but he would have to be someone who has been shown that ability. But I don't want to put him up on very much of a pedestal because I think, as I said, he's just a part of the team. Because he's not even mentioned in the closing chapter of Romans 16, where Paul mentions some of those that are very close to him while he's in Rome. I would like to think that Tychicus is no different than any one of you sitting in this room. He's a believer. He's in the body of Christ. He's a follower of the way. And he's been entrusted with ministry. There's many of you in this room that fit that bill. Like Paul empowered Tychicus to go and do this, the session here at this church has empowered you to conduct ministry. The session has turned over, if you will, the teaching to the Christian Education Committee. And through that committee, the teaching of the people of this church is conducted. Does that mean the session doesn't care what happened? Absolutely not. But what it is said is that the session trusts and has entrusted and has empowered the people of that committee to go and do ministry. Every one of you who sit on that committee could be called a Tychicus. Those of you who stand up and teach every week have been entrusted, have been empowered. Those of you who are on committees have been empowered, have been entrusted. Those of you who do things here in this church from week to week to week have been empowered and entrusted for a particular ministry. Every one of you could be a Tychicus. Join me as I read this brief account of Tychicus, as Paul refers to him in the book of Colossians. Tychicus, I'm beginning at verse 7 of chapter 4. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He's a dear brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. I'm sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. Now, I want to present to you Tychicus as a model, if you will. And again, I would say that he is no different than any one of us sitting in this room. Five attributes I would like to bring out of this short passage. First of all, he is referred to as a dear brother. A dear brother. I would take that to mean he is an active member of the community of believers. He is referred to as dear. People know him. Paul is aware of him. He knows him. He's an active member in the community. He was a participant. He knew his part. Because Paul spoke quite often of members and parts of a body. I think it would probably be something close to it is common language to speak of different parts and people doing their parts. Tychicus saw his. He knew his part and he actively fulfilled it. Now, that means that he didn't sit on the sidelines. He didn't sit on the perimeter and complain about what's going on in the middle. He didn't say, as we have record, Paul, that's not the way we've always done it. And then say, well, I'm just going to sit this one out. No, he didn't. He's referred to as a dear brother, and even further in the language you see in other books, you can see that he was a participant. He was involved. Secondly, he was a loyal member, a faithful minister, as he is referred to here. He did his part well, and he was trusted, he was dependable. This issue with Onesimus and Philemon was a very sensitive issue. The results would have a great impact on the church. Paul trusted him. And I think the thing that's key is that we believe that Philemon is someone who is very special to Paul. Because Paul couldn't write the kind of letter he wrote in Philemon to just anyone. It had to be someone he was close to say the things he said. So here, Paul is entrusting someone who's very close to him, Philemon. He's trusting his spiritual growth, if you will, to Tychicus. And, of course, the work of the Holy Spirit. The teacher Paul empowered Tychicus, and he was loyal in his work. He was also a fellow servant. Paul was the teacher. Tychicus was the student. But in the service to the greater vision and mission of the body, they were equal. The same is true here in this church. I stand here as the pastor. I have a role. I have a function. I have been gifted with a certain ability. Does that make me greater? Does that make me better than anyone in this room? Absolutely not. The session, the gentleman who you have placed on the session, which they sit there in that session in that high court, does that make them any better than any of you? Absolutely not. But are there responsibilities that go with function? Yes. But in the greater vision, in the overall mission of this church, we stand here, I pray, locked arm in arm. And I pray, all walking in the same direction. We are fellow servants. Tychicus was a trusted communicator. This is important. Tychicus was a trusted communicator. You see, as I said, Paul's in prison. There's no fax machines. And there's no email. I don't know how he survived without email. But he had to relay his message to someone else. And then someone else had to go and travel to Colossae and repeat his message. Tell him his story. We have the three letters, but there's so much more than the letters. Tychicus was a trusted communicator, which means he communicated the message Paul had for the church, not his own personal desires. He may not have cared for Philemon at all. We don't know. But the message, the greater message, was the point. And then finally, he was an encourager of the people. As it says here in verse 8, I send him so that you may know all about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. How would you feel if the person who planted your church was now in prison in another state because he had done something wrong according to that state? How would you feel regarding that person? Well, sadness, sorrow, but would you also question whether or not he was right or wrong? Possibly. So Tychicus was sent as a faithful, good communicator to encourage the people. Yes, Paul's in prison, but it was because he did what was right. Continue doing what is right. But on a personal level, Tychicus was the one who had Onesimus following along with him, went to Philemon's home, handed him the letter, presented Onesimus back to his owner, and then stayed there and resolved the issue. That took a good communicator. That took a good mediator. It took someone who was interested in the ministry. Tychicus was a critical player in the life of everyone involved here. And as I've said before, Tychicus is no different than anyone in this room. We are all parts of the body. We are all ministers with a call. Every one of you who identify yourself as a believer in Jesus Christ can also identify yourself as a minister. And I pray that you are, if you have not already, you are learning what your call is. And then like Tychicus, we are all given gifts, talents, and responsibilities. But then here's the question. Here's the question. Are we faithful? Are we faithful in what we've been given? Do our peers consider us dear brothers or sisters? Do we see ourselves working together as fellow servants striving for the same goal? Are we trusted communicators speaking the message of our Lord Jesus Christ, the message of this church? Do we put others before ourselves? Do we seek to encourage others, mediate when necessary, intervene in the situations at hand? Or do we stand back and gossip? How well do we use our time, our talents, and our money that God has given us? I know everyone in this room is deficient. We all are. But it is a personal question you have to answer, just as David laid it before us 2 weeks ago. You know what you have. You know where you are. You know the time you spend doing X and Y and Z. So it's a personal issue. I can't answer it for you. Do we glorify Him with all that we have? Or do we spend our time fulfilling our own personal urges? Oh, there's a new gadget. I got to have that. Oh, there's a new thingamabob. I got to have one of those. You know, all my friends have those little thingy-doos. I got to have one of those. Are we faithful ministers? Remember, all that you have, all that I have is not my own. Not my car, not my home, not my children, not my job, not my health, not my money. None of it's mine. These are not ours. And if it were not for the blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ, where would we be? In the story of the talents in Matthew 25 I referred to earlier, there are two responses the master gives the servants after he has entrusted them and he returns. Listen as I read these two responses. First of all, his response to the one who had been given five in this case, and he returned with five more. His master's reply was this: "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." This would be one we would say did as he saw was appropriate. The master was pleased. But in verse 26, hear the reply to the one that did not invest properly. The master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. You should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside, out into the darkness." Faithful servant, worthless servant. Which of these will you hear? Are we faithful ministers? And as I've said, no one in this room can tell you whether you are or not. That's yours. And that's between you and your Lord. But as we close this time, I would like to give us the time to pray and to reflect. As David pointed out to you 2 weeks ago, this church has many, many ministries at hand. This is a wonderful, dynamic, working church. The only limiting factor, and I hate to say this, but the only limiting factor in this church is money. And I'm sorry that's sort of the view, but we live in a money-based world. But the Holy Spirit can do with a penny what we couldn't do with a million. But again, it's a personal question for each of you. And I'd like to ask you to respond accordingly. If you have your commitment card already filled out, thank you very much. The ushers will take it here just in a moment. But if you have not and you need one, if you would lift your hands, one of these ushers would bring you one in just a moment. Ushers, please get up and move. I see hands up already. If you have not, and then while this is taking place, please consider what's at your disposal. And make your commitments. And then we will close here in a few moments. Father in heaven, as we are in this time of looking ahead to 2007, the outlook for this church is unbelievable. You have blessed this church for many, many years. And what we have here in a gathering of people is unsurpassed, I believe, in many congregations. The talents, the gifts, the resources, the abilities. As we saw as the team went to Lexi, there's not much we can't do. But it's all due to you, Lord. You have given and given and given and given. And we thank you. 2007 looks like a wonderful year as we begin looking at the budget. As we begin looking at plans and programs and studies that we have planned for 07, it's going to be a fun, rewarding year. Father, I pray that you would lead your people into their place in the ministry. And it begins here. We live in a money-based world and things work with money, so we have to have it. But Father, I pray that you would take our pennies and nickels and dimes and quarters and turn them into the wonderful resources that we need to fulfill what you have for us. Father, I pray you would move in the people's hearts and let them commit to you what you have laid upon them.